Hello, welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha. Hi,
Hello,
Shireen.
Dan.
And today's topic is true listening. The 20th century religious philosopher Paul Tillich said, "The first duty of love is to listen." Not a bad start for loving. Do you agree with that, or should
no,
we just
I
throw
do, it out I do, I do, I do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to start on a not-so-high note. I think that one of the worst things about being sick is people just don't want to listen to you.
Ah.
They want to rescue you. They want to give you advice. And so I cannot tell you how many people have come and told me how to cure cancer.
Ah. So you're the world's expert now.
Exactly. If I followed everyone, I would all be, that's all I would be doing, is following everyone. And so I really felt, you know, people come and ask me, so how are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, I used to tell them how I'm feeling. I didn't know what pit I was falling into. And now I keep my mouth shut. Feeling wonderful. I don't need one more cure from anyone.
But that's an interesting thing, because one thing in listening is we can set up something by asking a question, but it doesn't matter what they say if we know what we're going to say to them. And so what you're really telling me is that people don't listen to what I need. They're listening to what they want to hear, so they get to talk.
Right. And they have a preconceived notion that their idea of what cures, especially from people who haven't ever had it, is so important that I need to hear it and listen to it and put it into practice.
So maybe the...
It's almost like a pit. It's almost like into a trap.
Well, the innocence is we don't know how to help, and we want to help somehow, so we'll just share whatever bogus information we might have that we maybe think could help but not. Or we might, I want to be the expert. I don't know. But I have found that my rule of thumb is never seek directions from someone who's more lost than I am. And so someone who's going to give me investment advice, you know, if they...
And who are bankrupt.
Yeah, and they're bankrupt. I'm not going to do that. Relationship advice. How are your relationships? So I just went through a divorce. Let me tell you what... No! You know, so those are the things.
Or, you know, advice on how to lose weight from a fat person.
Exactly. Do not ask me to follow what you're saying. Now, I may be interested in what you're saying. But the true listening now, in my world, first of all, it's a huge gift to be listening to
her. It is. It really is an act of love.
It is.
Listening is an act of love.
And it is caring in a way that gives up control, because when you're listening, you're not manipulating, or at least hopefully you're not manipulating the other person.
Yes. You know, there's so many benefits, mm-hmm. so many benefits. I really feel it deepens a relationship.
No question.
And then also, sometimes there's an emotional rift between people,
mm-hmm.
and I feel all you have to do is listen, and that heals that rift. And, you know, it lets the other person bloom and blossom and uplifts them and gives them something. But you have to go from a true space. You have to
Absolutely.
Go from a space of not rescuing the other person, not judging the other person, not assuming that they have the same experiences as you have. All of those things.
So within that context, then, when people come and ask questions, often they don't even want advice. They just want to be heard.
You know, one thing I've noticed, and this really is the basis of listening,
mm-hmm.
is my experience and my realization with people is everyone at the core have an innermost wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And they know the solution. And true listening brings out that wisdom.
Because they don't have to push against anything.
Right. It comes out. And people are more likely to follow what comes out of themselves than what you tell them.
Absolutely.
And so, even though it makes you feel good to tell them to do something, it's better if it comes out from them.
Well, I think that's it, because we feel a sense of power if we give advice and they follow it. Or if they say, oh, you helped me so much with your advice, when probably the only advice we really take probably is what we were inclined to do.
Yeah, before. And so listening really is bringing that wisdom up. And mm-hmm. it really helps bring that wisdom up if we do it right. If I'm not in a conversation to win the conversation, if I'm not in the conversation to show how much I know about whatever is going on with the other person, I'm not in a conversation to, assuming, this is a very valid assumption people mm-hmm. have, it seems benign, but it's really not, for listening, is they assume that your experiences and their experiences are the same.
Right. Right.
And so it's not. You know, my experience of something is very different.
Yeah, I, as a coach, I'm often asked, well, what would you do? And my answer almost always is, well, for me to give you advice on what I do, you'd have to be male, you'd have to be 67 years old. Neither of those, so it's irrelevant on this. Now, let me go to another side of listening, which I'd like to underscore, and I have to tell a story for this, because I believe good listening is, first of all, not just with the ears, but it's with the eyes also. It's taking in information. The senses, smell, taste can all be this. But it was probably our second year of marriage. And Ann and I are off at the University of Tennessee. We're getting ready to go to our various classes, go to work. And I, for the 100th time that week, probably said how much I loved her. And in this moment, she sits down next to me on the bed and she says, you know, you often say that, but I never hear you say that I love you. And I said, well, of course you act like it, so I have to assume that's accurate. She says, that's not the same. You don't say it. And I said, well, you know, you really never know what another person... And I'm starting to get a little nervous. This has gotten out of control. And she says, I want to hear you say it. Suddenly, I was making this study of the shag carpet we had in those days, and I can't look at her, and I am scared. And I'm intellectualizing all over the place. And I'm saying, well, Ann, you really don't know what's in another person's mind and what's in their heart. You've never given me any reason to doubt you, but she takes my face, and she turns it, and I'm like this, and she says, say it. And I am terrified. And comes out this little squeak, you love me? And I promise you, in that moment, I thought rejection was coming. I can't you know, I'm a pretty charming guy, and I can really talk my way out of stuff, and I am just scared. And she says, say it louder. And by this time, tears are running down my cheeks. I say, you love me? And she hugs me and says, yes, I love you. By this time, I'm sobbing. I don't know where that came from. I never knew I felt unloved. I'd hidden it. And it took her to say, you know, something I never hear you do. So part of listening is not listening for what's said, but what's not said. What is your secret need that you keep hidden even from yourself? And let me just ask you questions. So, it, you know, as you might guess, that move, yeah, we've now got 40 years of marriage. It's really wonderful. But that moved it up some more notches. So what do we get from our kids, from our friends? What are they telling us, but not with words? What can we hear? And I think there's always stuff there. Always things we can hear beyond what's on the surface.
Yes. I feel one of the main aspects of listening is to really be silent inside. Uh-huh. And actually, if you twist the word listen,
yes,
and you rearrange the words of listen, it rearranges to silent.
Is that right? I'll have to work that out in the anagram.
And so really to just be silent, silent in your mind. And I feel that one of, and you see this in really true spiritual meditation practitioners. They know how to listen. And sorry, I'm being judgmental here, but sometimes I feel if you really know how to listen, then I know you're really meditating.
But something you said on that is not just being silent here, it's being silent inside. Because if we're arguing internally,
or trying to share something you have experienced, or trying to, you know, win the argument, mm-hmm. or trying to assume what the other person needs, or trying to rescue the other person, all of these things is just a recipe for disaster.
Are you implying that most of our political debates are not really good listening? Okay, we won't even go there. So within that, with those we care about, let's start with the inner circle, how do we help ourselves listen better? First is get quiet outside and inside. What else?
Listening for me really acts happens through the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? What are they, you know, how are they feeling? Everything we're seeing,
yeah.
We're listening through the eyes a lot, more than even the ears. And that's one, to really keep your eyes open, not mm-hmm. just metaphorically to keep your eyes open.
Sure.
And that's another one. And the third one is to just let the person be.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, for example, I wake up at 4 in the morning. And someone is coming, and recently it happened, complaining to me about something and something and something, and maybe they don't want to do the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, to just let them be.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So, let them be. Then what if they don't come up with the decision you think they should?
They will eventually.
Yeah.
They will eventually. You have to have that faith in people.
Yeah. And I have to also admit that I may think I know, but I don't, often I don't know what they should
I don't know the solution to them, really.
Yeah.
I know a solution to me,
yeah.
but I don't know the solution to everyone.
Exactly. So within that, if we are all on a journey toward getting closer to God, to understanding, to being at peace with ourselves, then some of us have different road stops along the way that we have to try. We have to make this mistake ourselves to believe it. So listening provides that space for them not to overreact.
Right.
To
right.
us rather than...
Right. The two important things in any conversation is make sure you don't act like a rescuer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play the role of the rescuer. And definitely don't try to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so those two really, I think, mess up our listening abilities.
Mm-hmm. Going for the win... Playing I'm better than you because is part of that. It can be rescuer, but it can also be a status gain
right.
with things. So who are the hardest people to listen to then?
Oh, I have a few in the uh-huh. center.
We don't really? Mention them by name.
No. That would be too hurtful. But they just keep talking.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be talking about really things that... mundane things like their ailments or their, you know, how difficult it was to get the phone company online, and they'll start off with, you know, it was blue sky and it was this, that. And it'll start from there. And the final end story after half an hour would be, the phone company guy didn't call me back. And so those are really hard to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I feel that this is me.
Mm-hmm.
Is I do draw the line at wasting my time with that.
Yeah.
And so if people are talking too much or if it really doesn't interest me, I like to be authentic and say, I can't do this right now.
Yeah.
I just cannot do it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good. The my favorite retort in that going through the long story is, I need the headline. Don't give me the whole story. And often that can be, you know, it's just a style thing. Some of us are sequential and need to start at the beginning and go through. Some of us like to jump to the end or jump around. You and I have sort of a jump around strategy in these tapes, which serves each of us how we think. So if there's one blessing you could give to someone that they would help them listen a little bit better, what might that be? An insight?
Think of it as a gift. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I feel in giving isn't, receiving isn't giving. If I really want to receive, I have to give. And that if I want to receive something from a situation, then the minimum, and it's the easiest thing to do, is listen.
Nice.
And so think of it as a gift, think of it as an act of love, and also it's a learned behavior. It's not rocket science. You can really learn it. And I feel these thought patterns and these patterns of being that we cultivate during our early years, we continue on with later in life, I feel the only way they can really go away is with awareness and practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so listening also can, we can do that with awareness and practice.
Good. Well, then I will listen better thinking that. Thanks, Shireen.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for joining us. Good night.